like to have a copy of God's Word. It's offered to you once again here in Stafford Town. It's really offered to you, yours to freely receive. New Testament in its entirety, the Word of God, which is able, has the ability to save your soul, that is, to bring you to a knowledge, a true knowledge of the true and living God. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, do please feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly give you one freely, and yours to peruse, yours to do with as you will. Who knows, perhaps as you were to read God's Word for yourself, maybe a surprise or two, maybe God would be gracious to you, merciful to you, enlighten you, save you from the wrath to come. Like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. Bible, of course, speaks about the living Word. That is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who came into the world, of course, was crucified in the flesh, raised again from the dead, that this so great salvation might be ours. For that is, such as should be saved, those ordained to eternal life. Of course, if you do not see yourself as being worthy of such, then, well, I suppose, I guess, the only conclusion I can come to is it's not for you. But I hope, I pray, that that would not be the case with you. Bible speaks about in James chapter 1 and verse 21. Check it out if you will. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The engrafted word able to save your souls. I wonder sometimes to myself why it is that so few people receive the engrafted Word of God. Why is it that so many reject? Maybe it's because persecution follows believing. That, of course, would be a great deterrent to some because, you read the Bible, you haven't got to be too far into it before you understand that, it comes with some cost, that there is persecution for those who truly believe. And of course, not so much in our land today. Some people, that are restricted from having some jobs in the country already. Some people deprived of their businesses because they love and believe in Jesus Christ. So that discrimination, that persecution, it does exist here in dear old England. But of course, further afield, it gets a little bit more serious than that. Some people have forfeited even their lives, but maybe, perhaps, I don't know, maybe that's a deterrent for you. You don't want to suffer, you see. Well, then you don't want to be a Christian, really, is what you're saying. Because it goes, as we are wont to see, it goes with the territory. But you see, friends, when you think about what it is that God presents you with here today, when we speak about the engrafted word that is able to save your soul, we're talking about your soul's salvation. We're talking about you being delivered from the judgment of God that's to come on all flesh. So we want a little bit of suffering in the light of that, a little bit of persecution, a little bit of mockery, being deprived of a job, employment, you know, compared to in the light of the salvation of your precious soul for all eternity. Such a thing ought to make a body rejoice, you know. We quite like it, you know, when some of you, as you do, you know, you revile us, you know, as we're going past. Well, we understand it's not really us that you're reviling, it's God. Well, I mean, you know, what would God want with you if you're reviling him, you know? But here's the thing, you know, when you revile us, well, we count it for joy, you know, because, well, it's a great privilege to suffer, you know, for his name's sake. That's how we see it, at least anyway. But the Word of God, you see, the engrafted Word of God that is able to save your soul, that's able to instruct you in the way of salvation, in the way that you should go in order that you might be right with God and that you might know eternal life through his Son, Jesus Christ. The Word, of course, that would rebuke you when you're on the wrong pathway or your pattern of life is not according to God's Word. It rebukes, you know, it instructs, it corrects. It's sufficient, the Bible says, you know, to furnish, to deck out a man or woman with all that they need in order to live a life pleasing to God. And of course, in the end, to save their precious, precious souls. So, we bid you this afternoon, as the Word of God says, to with meekness receive the engrafted Word that is able to save your soul. Because that's the only attitude, one of meekness, you know, self-effacing attitude. That's the only way by which this Word of God indeed can be received. And you benefit from it. You get, that is, the salvation of your soul. So you see, this reception of the Word, without the Word of God, the living Word of God, that is, Jesus Christ himself, he is the Word, you see, the living Word. He is the content of the gospel that we declare to you. And without the Word of God, well, you perish. You can't be saved but by the living Word of God. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, with God. All things were made by him, through him, and for him. He's the creator of the universe. He's your provider. And he's the one who would be the savior of your souls, were you to meekly receive him, the living Word of God. But I gotta tell you, without Jesus Christ, you cannot be saved. Without the living, without the engrafted Word of God, you cannot be saved. This is an impossibility. Because he is the only Savior. There is no other. Not just a matter of disagreeing, you know, with other people's opinions. Everybody's entitled to that. Freely grant that. You know, but your opinion, my opinion, what's that worth? It's of no value whatsoever. It's what God has decreed. It's what God has said. It's what God has appointed. And appointed his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, as the only Savior, who died on a cross some 2,000 years ago. Well, you might argue, you might say, well, thousands of men died on Roman crosses 2,000 years ago. Sure they did. But only one who was the appointed and anointed of God. Only one who was dying in the place of others. Only one who was dying on a cross, shedding his blood to purchase salvation for those whom God had chosen before the foundation of the world. So you see, without Jesus Christ, without God's appointed Savior, Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. One way, you see. Oh, it's exclusive. And of course, it excludes all other ways, all other opinions. One way, meekness, receiving the engrafted word, the living word of God, Jesus Christ himself. Without him, you shall perish, I tell you, in your sin. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. But you will perish, lest you believe on Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. And of course, well, it is the will of God that some should be saved. There will be those who will hear the Word of God declared, the living Word of God declared, and who will, of course, by the sovereign will and mercy of God, will hear the call of God, obey the call of God, and receive the engrafted Word that is able to save his soul. It's those, of course, that we're looking for, if you like, the live ones, those whom God himself has chosen. You see, the Bible makes it clear, you don't choose Jesus, he chooses you. You see, God, he is the author of salvation, and he is the one who has decided those who will be ordained to eternal life. It's not down to your decision. It's not of the flesh. It's not of the will of man. But of God you must, you see, be born of God, receiving with meekness the implanted word, the engrafted word of God that is able to save a man or woman's soul. But here's the thing, friends, you know. You might say, well, there's not many people who believe, you know, in the land today, and so it is. But, you know, it's a wonder to me, you know, that any are saved. You know, it's not a great trouble to me, you know, that's the case, that very few want to know and very few receive the engrafted word of God. It's not surprising, really, when you see the state, you know, of our nation, of our world today. But the surprise to me, the amazing thing to me, is that God should condescend to save any, to bring any to salvation. God will have, oh, he'll have those who are his. He'll call them, he'll bring them, he'll implant, he'll engraft the saving word into them in order that they might be saved. Always be the case, and it will be the case today, and it will be the case right to the end of the world of the age. But you see, it's the living Word of God, it's Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who begets children for God. That's his purpose, you see, in coming, in living, in loving, and dying on a cross and rising again from the dead, in order that he might beget children for God, that through him that men and women might be born again to a living hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. You see, as a result of his coming, as a result of what he has accomplished, as a result of what he has done, men and women, you see, will be made children of God, will receive the engrafted word of God, will come to him, will hear his call. You see, the thing has been made possible by Jesus Christ, by his coming. He has opened up the way. He has completed, finished the work that needed to be done. It is finished, he cried from the cross. Everything done and dusted, as we say, a done deal. It is finished. Not your work, his work. Your work, of course, is the work of God, and that is to believe on the one whom God has sent, Jesus Christ, the living Word that needs to be received, the engrafted Word of God that needs to be meekly received by you in order for you, your soul to be saved, to come to a knowledge of God's salvation. But of course, man rejects the Word of God. Men and women all over the world, all over your nation, here in your town of Stafford today, reject the Word of God willfully. Why? Because it is God's Word, you know. If it was anybody else's, if it was the words of Karl Marx, you'd accept it. If it was the word of some politician, some celebrity, oh, you would quite gladly receive it. All the opinions of men, they abound, and well accepted by you. But we come and we declare the Word of God to you. We come and declare the content of the Gospel to you. The person of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the living Word, who is able to save your soul. And simply because of the rebellious nature within you, because of the sinful nature, because of the stubbornness of heart within you, because we declare it to be the Word of God, you choose willfully to reject it, you know, and do despite to your soul that could be saved were you to receive God's Word.
I've become religious. You
really?
I've become Roman Catholic.
Oh yeah, that won't save you.
Huh?
That won't save you.
No, the Illuminati.
That won't save you. That won't
Why
save
not?
You. Jesus, you did, I tell you.
Jesus,
you are off the booze? Are you off the booze?
I tell you.
Are you finished the booze?
No, sorry. Last Friday, I started doing yesterday. Thinking about the booze, though.
You need saving, man.
Hmm?
You need saving. You need saving, you need Jesus.
What, not religion.
Not religion you need, it's saving, salvation you need. Jesus Christ can save your soul and deliver you from the drunken and all the other sin.
This is what's coming in next.
What? Huh? You what?
Is this what's coming soon now?
What? Jesus is coming, yeah?
Wait.
Coming to judge the world in righteousness. If he comes and finds you drunken, what's he going to do with you?
You won't be long.
No. Right. So get right with God. Repent. Believe the gospel, man.
Right, I'm telling you now, we're doing what you're suffering.
What? Say again?
I was going to say, doing this shit about Jesus delivered. Do you mean you go in then to the Bible, yeah?
Yeah.
Right. It said Lucifer will come. In many forms.
It's come.
No, it's come.
Satan.
Three and a half.
The God of this.
Out of 70 months.
The God of this age. And he's got a grip of your soul. Yeah. Only Jesus can set you free. Then go to the gospel, eh?
Yeah.
You want to go on preaching? Have a good day.
Barack Obama.
Have a good day.
Yeah.
Have a good day, eh?
And Jesus.
So like you see, friends, you know, the Word of God is willfully, you know, you choose willfully to reject it simply because it is the Word of God, you know? It's that stubborn, rebellious nature that's in each and every one of us. It's that nature that you're born with, conceived with, you know? You come into the world, God says, you know, shaping in iniquity, with a stubborn, rebellious nature, with your fist raised in your Maker's face, you know? And we come and we tell you, receive, with meekness, receive the engrafted Word of God, and your soul will be saved. And what do you say? You stamp your foot and you say, no, I will not have this man to reign over me. It's the stubbornness, you see. It's that stubbornness of nature that keeps you from the kingdom of God, keeps you from the forgiveness of sins, keeps you from God's pardon, and will keep you out of heaven one day, unless with meekness you receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to save your soul. Even Jesus, the living Word of God. Oh, friends, today, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. And in due time, he will exalt you, lift you up. And friends, the way up, first of all, is the way down. You have to, with meekness, humility, self-effacing, you have to receive the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. Jesus says in another place, ye hear not because ye are not of God. Maybe that's a reason why you don't hear, you don't listen to. Maybe that's the reason why you don't receive the engrafted word of God. Maybe it's down to this simple fact that you're not of God. But those, of course, Jesus says, those who are his sheep, they hear his voice and they follow him. So what about you? Is that why you're stone deaf to the voice of God? Is that why you do not receive the engrafted word that's able to save your soul? Because it is that you're not of his sheep. You don't hear his voice, and so you don't follow him. But that would be an evidence, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it, if you were of his sheep, if you belonged to the shepherd, if you were of God, then you would hear his voice, you would hear the engrafted word, and you would obey. You would humble yourself with self-effacing and with meekness. You would receive the engrafted word and have the salvation of your soul. And some people, of course, they don't hear and receive the engrafted word of God that's able to save their souls. Why? Well, because it's a hard word. It's not a soft word. This is not a soft option, you know, that's being presented to you. Oh, you might think it's a very easy thing, a simple thing, for a man to become, a woman to become a Christian. Well, you have got to read the Bible. You've got to see what it means. Read the New Testament for yourself and see what it means to be a Christian. The suffering that will be enjoined to it, the course of discipleship, the way in which you have to walk the narrow pathway, a principled lifestyle where you obey the principles of God, whatever it may cost you, even your very life, your job perhaps, your family. Oh, dear friends, this is not a soft option. And of course, many refuse to receive the engrafted word of God for that very reason. Because it is a hard word. It is a hard saying. You have to separate yourself from the world. You have to separate yourself from evil. You have to be done with evil and wicked ways. And men say, well, this is a hard saying. Who can receive it? Well, only by the grace of God, the sovereign operations of the grace of God, can any man ever receive the engrafted word of God that's able to save their soul? But what about you? Is that your reason? Is that your excuse why you won't receive the engrafted word of God? Is it too hard a saying for you? Too hard a course? Too hard, too difficult a way for you to walk? It's a narrow pathway, but the end of it is eternal life rather than the broad pathway that leads to eternal destruction. And then, of course, you have to understand that the content, you know, of the gospel is, in fact, you know, the word, the living word of God, the person of Jesus Christ. It's not just the words on a page in a book. It's not just the words, you know, that I'm speaking to you now that you have to receive. It's the person of Jesus Christ. It's the Son of God. It's him that you must receive. Because to receive him, to believe in his name, is to become a child of God. The Bible says he came to his own, but his own received him not. But to those who did receive him, who believed in his name, gave he the right to become children of God. Not a child of God simply because God made you. You're not a child of God, you know, because maybe you are born of religious parents, you know, or even Christian parents. No, a child of God only by reception of the person of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. It's receiving him in faith. It's he who unites a person to God. It's he who reconciles a person to God. Without the person of Jesus Christ, he who did the work, he who shed his blood on the cross in order that men and women might have peace with God. He made peace by the blood of his cross. That peace has been made, but it has to be received willingly, consciously, deliberately, in faith, a matter of faith. You have to be united to the engrafted Word of God, Jesus Christ himself. It's being by faith united to Jesus that a person, a man or woman, becomes a child of God, a family member and one with God, saved for time and saved for eternity. And of course, well, Jesus Christ is, he's begetting children constantly, all the time, the world over. Maybe not so much in your own country today, but the world over, in many, many places, in the Far East, Middle East, men and women, in their scores, in their hundreds, I hear reports of, who are putting their faith and their trust, some of them at great cost to themselves, some of them even forfeiting their lives as a result, but coming to trust, coming to, with meekness, receive the engrafted Word of God that is able to save their souls. Many, many people are being begotten of the Son of God, Jesus Christ. Made disciples, saved friends from the ravages of their sin. Peace with God, and of course the peace of God filling and keeping their hearts and minds in Jesus Christ. But of course it's only the engrafted Word of God, it's only the living Word of God that has the power to save. Bible says that the gospel, the good news concerning Jesus Christ. He goes again. I thought you'd given up.
Looking too right.
Oh man.
No man.
Gospel, the power of God unto salvation. Power to save, friends. The engrafted Word of God received by you. It's powerful. Word of man can't do this. State can't save you. Education can't save you. No, the parents can't save you. Word of man is totally powerless, impotent. Can't you see that? Can't you see the way that the world goes? Can't you see? Can't you see the failure of the systems of men? Can't you see the failure of religious systems even? Can't you see that it's power that's needed? Oh, you want to change. You want things to change for the better in your lives, you know, in your families, in your homes, in the nation, you know. You know, a government can have, you know, the desire, and I don't doubt for a moment that some sincere politicians would like to see things change for the better, but you know, the best will in the world, they haven't got the power. They haven't got the power. They haven't got the power to save. They haven't got the power to transform and to reform human nature. Only one who has the power for that, and that's Jesus Christ. By the gospel, the good news. about a person, not a religion, but the person of Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, that is able to save your soul, has the power to do the business, power to deal with your sin, power to deal with the evil, the power to change the human heart and nature, that sin nature in which you're born, in which you are conceived, to transform, make you a new person in Jesus Christ, a circumcised heart, a new heart, a new creature altogether, remade, recreated, born again. Only Jesus Christ, only the gospel, the content of the gospel, I mean, the person of Jesus Christ and what he has done, what he has accomplished, accomplishing what the law of God could never do, what you could never do, and that is condemn sin in the flesh, dying for sin, dying for sinners that you might be saved from your worst known enemy. People sometimes ask the question, you know, does Christianity, is it any good? Does it work good for your marriage? Yeah, I guess maybe, you know, Caesar doesn't throw you to the lions, you know. Is it good for your business? Yeah, maybe. Maybe if the state doesn't take it away from you. That's not the issue, friends. That's not the issue. It's not your marriage. It's not your business. It's your soul. It's the salvation of your soul. It's your sin. Your sin. You're in danger of perishing because you're a sinner. You're a sinner by nature and you're a sinner by practice. And if you remain that way, in that state and condition, if you go out of this world in that state and condition, you will perish in your sin. Jesus says, you do not believe that I am He, you will die in your sin, and you will go to a lost eternity forever without any hope of restoration. That's the issue. You need peace with God, and you need the peace of God, and only the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ, the living Word of God, the engrafted Word of God that is able to save your soul, receive with meekness, can bring peace with God to you. You reject the Word of God, you reject the Gospel of God, you reject this good news, you die and you go to a lost eternity, beyond reach and beyond repair. And the result is the salvation of your soul. You see, the Word of truth, the living Word of God, Jesus, He saves. And listen, He does it without any cooperation from you. He does it. Jesus saves. And He saves completely. And He saves forever. But He does it, friends, not you. He does it apart from you, apart from any works of yours, apart from any help from you. He does not need any help from you. He does it Himself completely. It's His power, and at the end of it, it will be His glory. It's not Jesus plus you. It's not Jesus plus your religion. It's not Jesus plus your church attendance. It's not Jesus plus your so-called good works. It's Jesus Christ. It's the living Word alone who saves without any cooperation from man whatsoever. You've got nothing to add to this. You've got nothing to offer God. Absolutely nothing at all. Because everything that you are and everything you've got is tainted with sin. All you are is just a lump of walking, breathing, talking sin. And there's nothing, nothing acceptable of you by God. Your righteousnesses, the best of your deeds, are like filthy rags, says God in His sight. Totally unacceptable. No cooperation from you. He does it. He does it. The Word, the living Word of God that is able has the ability that nothing and no one else does. That is to save your precious, precious soul. And the Word of God, the engrafted Word, the living Word of God, saves from sin. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. For why? Because his name, Jesus, it means Savior. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people, not the whole world, not universal salvation. It's not all men. Not all men. He shall save his people. His people. The ones that God, before the foundation of the world, gave to Jesus, gave to the Son of God, gave to the living Word of God to save, and he saves them. He saves them from sin. He saves them from their worst enemy. He saves them from their greatest danger. He saves them from the most fearful disease known to humankind. He saves them from sin. And he saves them, he sets them free from the guilt of sin. Oh, but you see, I don't feel guilty. Well, I guess that's what most of the dudes at the magistrate court said this morning to the judge. I don't feel guilty, Your Honour. And down comes the gavel and they're sentenced. Get yourself off to jail. Huh? You might not feel guilty, but that doesn't mean to say you're not guilty. But you are. You were born, you were conceived in sin. God holds you accountable for that. You're a sinner. You're a sinner by reason of the fact that you come from Adam. That's enough. And then, of course, a sinner by practice, thought, word, and deed, every which way, up one side and down the other, sinful to a man, to a woman, guilty, guilty as charged, as indicted by God, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one, says God, none that doeth good. All together out of the way and become unprofitable. Word of God, the engrafted Word that is able to save your soul, the living Word of God, Jesus, saves from sin and frees men and women from their guilt. This Word, the engrafted, the implanted Word of God, implanted in the souls of men and women by God Himself. What Jesus meant when he said, ye must be born again. Born again, that is, not of the will of the flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. It's something God does. And he does so in the context of the preaching of the gospel. Otherwise, preaching would be the most stupid thing imaginable for any man to engage himself in. And it's not something that I would be doing here today, believe me, if it were not that God was in it.
God bless you.
Thank you, Jean. And you too. If it weren't that God was in it, if it weren't that that's the means by which God has ordained to implant, to engraft the Word of God into the souls of men and women that they might be saved. By the sovereign operations of the gracious Spirit of God, men and women have the living Word of God implanted into their souls by God Himself. You see, it's not something that you do. It's not you doing God a favor, you know, by subscribing to Christianity. No, it's God showing you great, great mercy. One in having the gospel proclaimed amongst you, whether you receive it or reject it, instructing you in the way of salvation. But for some, for such as have been ordained to eternal life, for those it will be salvation. For God himself, you see, will come and he will implant the engrafted. He will engraft the word, the saving word of God in men's souls. And you see, when the word of God is engrafted, when the saving word of God is implanted into the souls of men and women, it brings forth fruit, you see. It brings forth the fruit of holiness. It brings forth the fruit of separation from former wickedness, evil ways, from the sins, you know, that you've been involved in. Maybe for some of you for many, many days. Some very dark sins. Some very dangerous sins. Some very dirty sins. All kinds of sins. But God, you see, when he engrafts the word into a man's soul, he saves them. He delivers them, you see. And there's the fruit of holiness. The holiness without which no man shall ever see God. So, you see, this engrafted word that is able to save the soul, to bring forth the fruit that's pleasing to God, you see, that transforms the thinking, you know, that wrong thinking, that wrong-headedness, you know. This is part of man's fallenness, you see, that the mind doesn't work properly. You can't think straight, you know. You can't reason properly. Your reasoning is totally, totally fallen. Why God said in another place, come now, saith the Lord, let us reason together. But you reason, you see, with an open Bible, thinking God's thoughts after him, you come to a right-mindedness, you know. Your reason is healed, and you begin to think sensibly, intelligently, and reasonably, probably for the first time in your life. It transforms the thinking. It transforms the entirety of life. Bible says, a new creature in Jesus Christ, behold, all things have become new. Entire transformation, you see, of the heart, the mind, of the life. All becomes new and the old passes away. The old, you know, sinful, the old debauched life, the old unbelieving manner of living that was a disgrace to God and a displeasure to him. All receiving with meekness the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. Be swift to hear, says God. Quick to hear. Slow to wrath. Some of you complain. We don't like to hear about the wrath of God. But God has to hear about your wrath. Every time the gospel's preached, we hear about your wrath. Huh? Okay for you to be wrathful, but not God. Huh? Not God. Well, God is wrathful, and his wrath is being revealed against all your ungodliness and unrighteousness as a result of your holding the truth in unrighteousness. But God says, be quick, be swift to hear the engrafted word, and slow to wrath, because the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. That won't do you any good. Expressing your wrath, expressing your displeasure and what God has to say about you and to you, that will get you nowhere. No, slow to wrath, says God. Lay aside the sin Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. The wickedness, lay it aside. Oh. The uncleanness that pervades your land and pervades some of you here today, it has to be laid aside. It has to be repented of, turned from, forsaken, run from, flee from it. Because you'll perish in it if you don't. And receive the engrafted word with meekness. Receive the engrafted word that is able to save your soul. But so few, you see, are saved because they won't lay aside that stubbornness of heart, that stubbornness of nature that keeps you from that meek attitude that would receive the engrafted word that would be able to save your precious, precious soul. So many are called, so many hear, oh, externally hear the call of God. So many called, but so few chosen, because so many refuse, so many will not lay aside that naughtiness, that uncleanness, and with meekness receive the engrafted, the implanted word of God, able to save their soul. What is meekness? Self-effacing, self-emptying. You come, there's no other way you come, but nothing. You are nothing, you are nothing. And you come with nothing. That's the only way. Only way that a man, a woman comes to God. Because you've got nothing to offer. You are nothing and you have nothing but your sin. That's the only thing you can truly call your own, your sin. And that's how you come to God. You come through His Son, Jesus Christ. You come through the cross of Jesus Christ. And before that cross, you come empty-handed with absolutely nothing, confessing your sin with a self-effacing, an attitude of utter meekness, groveling, if you like, that God would have mercy upon your precious, precious soul. Because if He does not, if He does not, and you are not able, by grace given the ability, to humble yourself, to come as nothing to God, and receive the engrafted word that is able to save your soul, you will perish in your sin. Lost for all eternity. If Jesus Christ does not save you, I tell you, nobody else can and nobody else will. But I commend them to you. Bible says, God says in His Word that He commands all men everywhere to repent. Words of the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Why? Because the kingdom of God is at hand, and that's the only way you can enter into God's kingdom. And the way of repentance and faith towards the living Word of God, Jesus Christ Himself. So I bid you, I command you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in His words, repent ye and believe the gospel. Day, while you may, you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, gladly place one into your hands, freely offered to you, no cost, no obligation to you. Check these things out, read for yourself, see that they are so. Word of God, able, ability to save, the power to save.